defender of the working class majority, Rick Smith.
Yes, indeed. I got to see the Dropkick Murphys last weekend, and man, what a fantastic show, and what an amazing working class band, I'll be honest with you. Any chance you get a chance to see them, by all means. But look, you know, at the end of this, as I've been saying, the candidates, I think, who embrace workers' rights, who embrace those economic issues that are going to make people's lives better, I think are those people who are going to come out on top this November. And I hope one of those folks is Omar Vaid. He's a union member, a candidate for Congress in New York's 11th congressional district. He's got a new video out on saying, hey, look, I'm a union member. This country has done right by me. What we are about is not what we're seeing coming out of Washington, not coming out of the marmalade Mussolini. And we need to change things, which is why I've asked Omar to come talk with us. Omar, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you, listeners.
You know, let me start off by saying, you know, an amazing, inspirational video, and I hope people will take a look at it. We're gonna tweet it out to make sure people get to take a look at it. But you know, just really one of these uplifting, really motivating pieces of work. Not an attack. It's talking about really, you know, hey, who we are.
Oh, absolutely. And also, I mean, we talk about unions and labor, and this video, please, everyone, see it. The backdrop of Staten Island and Brooklyn and Manhattan, you're going to see the Statue of Liberty very prominent in a lot of union workers. And it actually happened just coincidentally. I was invited by members of Local 79, the building trades, to come help unionize a job site. And I've been saying it all over in stump speeches, and union workers finally invited me to come unionize a job site, and there it just so happened the video crew was following me and tailing me, and there's a lot of it in it. And it's very inspirational to see the guys out there, and for me just to be a candidate to help create union jobs by unionizing. And that's something that we should see more of from candidates and leaders and elected senators and congresspeople, I think.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, at the end of this, you know, and I've been saying for a while, I think the people who run on standing up for workers' rights and standing up for a decent economy and good-paying jobs, that's what people want to hear. I don't know that they really want to get into the muck and the divisiveness. Leave that to people like me. We want candidates. We want people who are going to be in Congress who are going to motivate us and really, I think, fight for the better us.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, in my district, and it's really, there's a parallel, yes, with Connor Lamb and what we're seeing with Iron Sash, with Randy Bryce, that embracing unions and strengthening them and creating more of these union jobs, it's nothing to be ashamed of to talk like that. And it's interesting because people will come up and disagree with you, and these are conversations worth having about why this benefits the middle class and what the American dream means. And what a good job, you know, and we protect these companies, too, with safe standards. And there's so much going on. But, no, unions are absolutely under attack. And I'm proud that Staten Island is one of the highest concentrations of union workers in definitely in New York City. And some of the earliest chapters of these, like, unions are founded here. So it's an opportunity for me to partner, and we can show how proud we are. And it's just that, like, it to me, I mean, Rick, tell me, because here, let me ask you for some advice. I have these conversations every day with Michael Grimm voters. You want to tell the people listening, the brothers and sisters listening about Michael Grimm, who I'm challenging?
One of those guys that I'm not a huge fan of. As I remember, one of those, he's a bully in my view.
He threatened to kill a reporter, and he's definitely very far on the right, and he's very anti-immigrant, and he was endorsed by Steve Bannon, and he takes a very hard-line anti-immigrant view, and so talking to workers, a lot of the building trades workers feel that their jobs have been lost to what they refer to as immigrant labor, and I like to correct that, and I like to tell them, guys, let's call them what they are, non-union laborers. that we don't know if that person is an immigrant or a citizen. We don't know by looking at a person, but we do know it's a non-union job site.
Right.
So let's focus our energy on unionizing on those things, on what we can really do that'll benefit us. And so the advice I'd like to ask is, I have these conversations where we talk about unions, but we talk about who is attacking workers and you know, like Janus versus AFSCME, who is trying to undermine unions. And it's very hard to let Republican voters know that it's their own leaders and the people who fund the GOP. How do you start that conversation? To ask you advice, Rick.
Well, for me, you know, when I have these, and I have the exact same conversations that you are having, I've had these for years. You look at the reality, there's always been a war between capital and labor. And it's from the beginning of time. It's the matter of who gets what. Capital wants more. Labor wants their fair share. Capital has an insatiable appetite. It never ends. Labor is just trying to make ends meet. And I often say, you know, capital, you know, they want to make a killing. You know, we just want to make ends meet. That's it. And, you know, in that push-pull, it's not political. It's not Republicans or Democrats. There's no partisanship there. Money wants money. It doesn't care. It'll use both sides if it can. Where we've got to be focusing on is, at the end of the day, you've hit it spot on. It doesn't matter who's in that non-union job. It's still a non-union job. We need to make sure that every job in this country pays a living wage, has decent benefits, has safe working conditions. It shouldn't matter who's doing those jobs. Where we get into these problems is when we get sliced and diced and pitted up against one another. And I don't want to get off on a long rant here because I can go on for hours and days about this, because it's infuriating that we, after all of these years, have still allowed ourselves to be pitted against one another as white or black or Hispanic or African American or male or female or blue collar or green collar or ring around the collar. I mean, we've been sliced and diced and managed and pitted against one another to where we're eating our own. We're our own worst enemy most of the time, and the wealth class just sits back and goes, look what we've done.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's when I tell the workers, I say, look, we don't care who it is as long as it's union workers, you know. And then that way, what Michael Grimm's own, I feel like that I found the silver bullet to wipe away Michael Grimm's argument, is that you're, you know, going on this far right wing, you know, sort of racial profiling of anybody who appears to be an immigrant visually, and directing energy toward that. And I'm talking about, you know, what we're going to do positively to bring, I mean, you know, we've lost, you know, percentages have been falling of union workers. And of course, like the court cases and the far right wing are undermining us and our workers. And so, but we're talking about what we're really going to do, which is this new positive thing of creating these opportunities here at home.
Right.
And it's like the silver bullet that everyone listening, remember, that's the silver bullet to cutting through that argument, is talk about opportunity and the future. And definitely there is a connection between labor and immigration and workers and all these things. But it's really about, where did these jobs go? I mean, and why can't these jobs pay pension benefits and good health care and all these things? You know, it's because we're expensive, you know, that we're like, you know, seasoned, experienced labor that, you know, your trade, you're going to cost more because you're, you know, that you've it's like becoming a professor in a way. Like you've done the time to, you know, the 10 years to master that trade or longer.
Yep. No, you're absolutely spot on. And the other thing that I often throw out, and this is one of those things that people don't ever come back with an answer for, you know, would it make your life better to make their life more miserable? I mean, honestly and truthfully, to attack them and to take from them, is it going to make your life any better? and the answer is always no. If
exactly.
We could make their lives better, we could make our own lives better, and collectively, we could all demand a little bit more of the wealth that we create. And this is one of those moments where, you know, Donald Trump may be right. We are the wealthiest country at the wealthiest point in history, and our corporations are making more money than they've ever made. Profits are higher than they've ever been. Yet, do you see salaries rising? Do you see the poverty rate moving? Do you see that that booming, prosperous working class that our grandparents' generation had? No. What you see is a hoarding, greedy, insatiable wealth class who only wants more. And that was highlighted in the tax plan. And, you know, as someone like you who's running for Congress, I would be hammering my, I'd be hammering to death the fact that they made those corporate tax cuts permanent forever, on infinitum into the future. Yet any crumbs, that $1.50 a week that Paul Ryan was touting for the rest of us, that goes away in a couple of years and we end up paying more. To me, that's class warfare, and we are getting our hats handed to us.
And anyone listening who knows anything about manufacturing and the direction of, you know, American manufacturing that we've lost, you know, these trade wars with China, we've been losing because the Chinese, you know, they're unfairly dumping products, you know, and steel and things like that. And then to me, with the president, the thing about the steel tariff that people miss is at first it looks like a good deal for us, especially in Pennsylvania. I know Pennsylvania is an important steel state. And at first glance, these things look like we're being offered something positive. But then you, when you look a little deeper, you see that it's an attack on American manufacturing packaged as a protection.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to go there with you. I see it as a first step of saying that we're going to push back against China. We still don't know what the exemptions are going to look like at this point. And I don't want to get into a whole back and forth over this.
I was definitely positively receptive. I am for, you know, import tariffs on products coming in to protect our trade and our manufacturing. But you know what, Rick? What really concerned me was the idea that if an American manufacturer was importing Chinese steel to be competitive, they would pay the tariff, but a Chinese manufacturer sending a fully finished product into America with Chinese steel paid no tariff.
And that's a problem.
That
is a problem.
That really concerned me. I thought maybe that was a loophole that, you know, was actually going to undermine American manufacturers further. Because I'm just very paranoid whenever I feel like there's anything that could further damage American manufacturing.
No, I'm with you. If that is the case, and I haven't seen that, but the reality is most of that steel is gone. What we're talking about doing is, from what I understand, there are a couple of things that we're about ready to lose. And currency manipulation, the dumping, all of that stuff is going on. And look, I'm not a Trump supporter by any stretch of the imagination. But we've got a steel industry that's been under attack for at least two generations now.
Absolutely. And you know, I have a buddy in New Jersey. Every week he gets 10 orders of 10 Chinese manufacturers begging him to take samples of their steel products. Yeah, it shouldn't be like that. They shouldn't even be able to contact him.
And this is where there's a part of me. And look, I have very little faith in this president. And you're right. There's a lot to be concerned about with how the exemptions are going to be handed out and what scattershot way they're going to enforce it. But for me, there's got to be a first step at which we say, there's got to be a line in the sand where, because we're just, you said it a minute ago, you know, we've had a trade war with China for a long time. It's been going on. We just haven't been fighting back.
Yes, and it's the truth that, like, we need to do everything we can to protect, you know, the manufacturing, and then, of course, like, making sure the jobs are not privatized. It's that P word again. So that's what, and you know what, I feel like this kind of show, people like, this is like the best example of free speech that we can sit here and there's what Bill O'Reilly called a no spin zone. This really is one, because I mean, I have these conversations in Staten Island with voters who lean to Michael Grimm, and I have to reel them in, and it's to tell them that brother or sister, the one who is trying to undermine your union, it's the same one that's funded by the far right. And it's these are hard conversations to have, and they're painful because you feel betrayed by your party. You know, if you're a Republican voter, you are being betrayed if you're pro-labor.
Well, I mean, the reality, Omar, and just to be honest, you know, and I'll take a middle ground here, the Democratic Party has betrayed me for years as well. It's not just the Republicans. I look at these bad trade deals. You know, Bill Clinton brought us the DLC Democrats, which, we're very corporate minded. We got the trade deals through there. Even had Obama, who was trying to ram through the TPP, which we could argue back and forth may have been a good thing to try and hold China into check.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to agree with you on those things. Absolutely. But we're not going to go back and forth. I agree.
No, but at the end of this, the hope is that where we see this movement forward, where we see folks like you coming to office, is that you're willing to think about this stuff. There's no blind faith ideology here other than we want the best for American workers. We want people to have good jobs with good benefits and a secure future. From that starting point, I think we can solve any problems.
You know, you're absolutely right. And it's like also for the kind of work that we do in this country, we're never going to engage in a race to the bottom because it's not something we would ever be worth our time to engage in, you know. And so it's always about how we can make sure our history and our traditions and in terms of work and manufacture can be protected, you know. So it's looking at that, you know, industry by industry, but not allowing corporate interests to really have a say. I think it's important because then you're back to them wanting to do outsourcing or looking for a profit or privatizing the workforce. They've just gotten too greedy.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you go back to, and I've had these conversations for years. You look at what the tax code has allowed in this country. We have created the wealthiest billionaire class in the history of civilization. We've got more rich people than we've ever had. And yet we've got more children who are going hungry. We've got veterans who are homeless. We've got infrastructure that's crumbling. We've got people who can't get health care. We've got education systems that are crumbling. We've got all of these problems, yet what we chose in this tax bill, and I hope the Republicans run on this in November, what we've done is we've gone, you greedy folks at the top, you don't have enough. Here's more. All of those sacrifices, all of those other problems, those aren't important to us. Those people, the people at the bottom, the people who go out, get up every day and punch a clock just to fall behind, they don't matter. And I'm hoping folks like you will pick it up and go, you know what? Those people do matter. Every forgotten town, every forgotten worker, every factory that's closed and all their workers have scattered and have opioid addiction problems and drug and alcohol problems, those people matter. And I'm hoping
exactly.
Folks like you will take it.
That's exactly what it is. It's that, like, you know, like, Rick, you had your shot, I had my shot, and but we were lucky. And it's to preserve that shot for the next generation.
It's that
make sure that the ones who are coming up and the ones who are struggling and having trouble, that someone's looking out for them and protecting them, and that workers aren't ever pushed into, like, unfair. There's a non-disclosure agreement they try to push on workers to try to take the ownership of their skills so they couldn't work in another mill, you know, that we own your skills. And it's like, when did that ever become a possibility that you could get someone to sign paperwork? And that's what it boils down to, representation. And that each congressperson, your congressperson, is your representative. And that's why I made that challenge that you can reach me directly and I'll come and represent you. I'm happy to, because I see it as that's our job. Is to show up and to stand up for that, to stand up for rights.
Absolutely. Good stuff. And I hope people will take a look at your video. We tweeted it out. I hope people will, because it's fantastic. I love the fact at the end you got you and another guy are playing basketball saying, look, I had my shot. And then you focus on the future, and you got a kid playing with a space shuttle. And, you know, it gives me, you know, it was one of those moments where I'm watching and I'm going, you know, this gives me hope. This gives me hope that tomorrow can be better than yesterday was. And I look at how bad yesterday was. I'm really hoping tomorrow's better.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in that workers and working people are going to get ahead and get much further ahead, because it's this kind of show that we talk about these things and air them out, and we examine them, and we're willing to disagree or agree, and but just open dialogue, especially with the far right wing, who we disagree with, but we're even willing to open a dialogue with them. And we just want the divisiveness to end, and we all want to do well. So then we just want our fair share.
Good stuff. Omar, I appreciate the time. I wish you the best. Please come back and talk with us again as this continues. I'm wishing you, I'm wishing and hoping for you.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you.
Good stuff. Omar Vaid. Again, check out his website, omarvaid.com. But again, like I said, the video, I highly suggest. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.